This is Elocution with your host, Elo Black.
This episode is a throwback to a podcast we used to do called The World of Science with Dr. Hans Berger. I did this show with a very dear friend of mine who is a licensed member of the medical community. However, Dr. Hans Berger is fictitious. Viewer discretion and sensibility are advised. Well, I mean, listener discretion, unless you watch this on YouTube. Anyways, please enjoy, be well, and above all, wash your hands. Thanks, pals. Hello and welcome to the World of Science. I am your host, Genevieve Holcomb Marcellus, and with us as always is the brilliant, the patient, and the doctor, Hans Berger. Dr. Berger, thank you so much for being with us on episode 8 of the COVID catch-up.
Hello, hello, lucky number 8. Good day. How are you?
I'm well, Dr. Berger, but unfortunately, we have to start off our show with some statistics from this week of March 17th, 2020. There are 1,467,065 confirmed cases of COVID-19. That's 191,929 cases in 1 week. That have been diagnosed. And also, this week we have a total reported 88,709 deaths. That is 7,773 more deaths in 1 week.
I think someone in chief is trying to get to a nice round number as round as his belly. So sad.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Berger, I'm not even going to ask you about the curve. I'm not even going to ask you if things are going to get better this week. Now that the stay-at-home orders are being lifted and people are going out more, Dr. Berger, what is your prediction of what's going to happen with COVID-19 cases being contracted?
Well, this is what happens when there are more people. Think of it like you put one person into a little room. It could be with padded walls. It could be with posters of Guns N' Roses. What do? You put one person into a single room and they are infected with the TB, with the coronavirus. But there is a respiratory infection. You put one person into a room that says, this is my room. No one can come into this room. And then they get lonely. They get tired of their liberty being trampled on because it's their room and they want to share the room with some other people. So they start bringing more people into this room. They bring more people and guess what? They start talking to one another. They start breathing on one another. They start kissing face and sucking nose or whatever the kids do nowadays. And then the virus gets transferred. There is the transfer, kind of like the syphilis. You can transfer. And you know, with the babies, the sperm and the egg, you transfer. There's this transfer. And when the transfer happens, more people can transfer to another person. So of course there are going to be more people because they're tired of being quote unquote locked up in their house. Well, that's just very dumb. How are you going to lock yourself in your house when the beautiful weather, perhaps the best weather of 2020, was happening during the coronavirus pandemic, no? But yes, it's simply an issue of transfer.
And Dr. Berger, we have to go there again. Speaking of people and the house orders being lifted, the Michigan protesters are back at the Capitol this week. What are they protesting, Dr. Berger? The house orders are being lifted. What's going on? Restaurants are opening up. Why are they upset?
Well, there is a word that the Michigan leadership is trying to destroy everyone's freedom by still closing down everything. You know, it's so amazing. There are so many people that I remember from the days of the Socialist Party called the Nazis. So I remember the day growing up in Germany, there was a group of people that told us what to do. And some of us listened because we did not want to die. We did not want to be shot in the face. We did not want to be hung by a tree and covered in honey and tickled with baby feathers. Okay, so what we have here with the Michigan protesters returning back to the Capitol. So there is this fear. The fear has returned that these protesters feel that someone has too much control over them, particularly a woman. And these protesters do not like when a woman has quote unquote this power to make you stay at home. So what they're doing is they're saying with their little guns, because they can't do it with their own person, they take their guns to say, you cannot keep me from my home. You will open my dependent feelings. I cannot stay at home with my family. My house is not a home because I am perfectly useless and I am not crafty. I am not clever. I cannot entertain myself because I am a very useless, unentertaining person. So what they are doing is they are threatening, and I will say the word, they are threatening with their quote-unquote Second Amendment to protect themselves from British invaders, because apparently the Michigan leadership is a whole bunch of British invaders. They work for the Queen, they have the crown jewels, and they're using the power of these jewels, the amethyst, to heal the bad vibe. The Michigan leader is healing the bad vibes with the crown jewels of the Queen, which is making the people stay at home. It's really all natural science if you think about it. So these protesters are returning to the Michigan Capitol to say, hey, hello, I still have my gun. The world is still around me. No, I don't want to follow 25% opening of businesses. No, I don't want to take a business that I could do out of the safety of my own home. I want to do it in a building that I want to pay rent for. So, you know, there's just freedom is what's going on. And if you notice, they really love that word freedom because they spell it with three E's, not just two. It's a lot of freedom.
Absolutely. I saw some of those signs. Very creative spelling they use. Mm. But Dr. Berger, why are these same people getting violent, even deadly, when being asked to wear a mask into a store or restaurant, or even harassing those that aren't harassing them that are wearing masks? What's going on with that, Dr. Berger?
Oh, it's just a threatening of the ego. Freud was a very, very good person talking about ego. Well, perhaps there are a lot of people who mommy and daddy didn't care for and drop them on their head every time that they had them in their arm. So what it is people have this innate American desire to say, no, nine, you will not step on my freedom. I will step all over yours, but you will not step all over mine, because tit for tat does not work with my tit or my tat. So when they go to these places and the companies are asking, you know, please wear shoes, please wear shirt or no service, please click it or tick it. You know, those rules didn't work. You know why? Because it didn't involve anybody's freedom. So the problem here is the people that used to say, hey, I will serve you, but this is my place of business. You have to follow my rules. And they're saying, oh, well, you should have followed the rules. They don't want to follow the rules now. For example, Colorado, many, many years ago, there was a gay wedding cake fiasco. A couple walk into cake store looking cute. They simply requested the cake. Lady said no. The couple sued the lady. Group of people said, hey, that's her business. She can make the rules, whatever she wants. You have to follow the rule. And here we have today little businesses saying, oh, all we ask is you wear a mask, you can wear your little panties, you could wear holy shirt, you could show your tattoo of titties and boobies, but all we ask is you wear a mask while you're in the store and you're free to shop. Simple as that. Now they're saying, oh no, those rules are stupid. We will not follow your rules because that is trampling on my liberty. You know, I suppose no one was trampling on liberty of the homosexuals of Colorado.
But Dr. Berger, speaking of government and intervention, are these same people upset that there is another stimulus bill that has been passed on Friday? Or is that socialism, or is that okay because that's money going to them?
Well, there's this new word on the street that this stimulus should go to essential employees and not freeloaders. It's something to think about, is that these freeloaders, for example, these freeloaders don't pay taxes, right? These freeloaders apparently don't have a job, right? So these freeloaders are living off the money of other people, right? So then how, if they're freeloaders and not paying taxes and not working, how are they getting the money? Is our friends, the hotelier in chief, finding these freeloaders and saying, oh, here, here's some money under the rug so that you can have some money, because these essential workers don't need the money money. What they need are about 5 blue angels flying across the sky. That's going to make them millions and millions of dollars. So what we have here is we have another stimulus package. Stimulus, another term for what I feel is just plain socialism, which could work because people, you know, who's going to turn away $2,000 when they're in desperate need to pay rent, their car note, they need to feed their children? I will probably say there are some people that will turn it away, and I will gladly take it from them. But the stimulus package is specific to the essential workers. Well, we have to go back to realizing what is the definition of essential. Is the essential the people that work in the hospital, the people that stack the grocery store after people buy poo-poo paper because they're going to poo-poo themselves from this coronavirus, the essential employees that they dye the hair of the Karens and the Chads? Is it for that lady in Dallas who had a salon that had $1 million GoFundMe before she even tore up the order from the judge just to get a lot of political involvement? Is she going to get this $2,000 and another loan? You know, the stimulus package is going to be something very interesting. It could be something positive. And at the same time, with all the stimulus, right now, I would say we are over $52 trillion in debt, or $52 trillion in what I'd like to say conservative spending, because as you know, a particular political party claiming success in 2016 for conservative, you know, success, this has been something I would not call at all conservative spending.
And Dr. Berger, speaking of the government, what's going on with the Postal Service being removed?
Right now, there's a lot of flotsam and jetsam going around about Postal Service being a crock. When our friend in these United States, Franklin, Mr. Ben Franklin, who started this out as a service to help people with communication, I thought it was something that helped truly make America the great nation that it was at the time around the 1700s. But I guess there are a certain privileged number of people who feel that the Postal Service just doesn't work for them in their favor. You know, what's unfortunate is they feel they don't have a choice to use FedEx, UPS, you know, all these other options. Perhaps they feel so privileged that they just feel that the Postal Service should be their wants, their own desires, because there's truly only a small amount of people who believe that the Postal Service should be eliminated. One thing to take into consideration is that people talk about, I don't trust the people of the post law. In every profession, there are people that you don't trust. Perhaps you should take into consideration the medical commercials from lawyers talking about the anal leakage online from pills and elixirs. There's going to be a problem, or quote unquote, what each individual claims is a problem, with every profession, but it should not mean you want to completely destroy an institution because you feel that you are being inconvenienced by a small, minute group of people. Come on.
Absolutely. And it's the same group of people that delivers mail at a more affordable rate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this week, Dr. Berger, but Trump had said, why isn't the post office acting like FedEx and UPS? Well, when I send a letter, it doesn't cost $10. It costs less than a dollar.
22 cents, 32 cents.
Absolutely. And I still send letters. I would like it not to cost $10, Dr. Berger. Is there a chance that this might raise the rates so high that I might as well just quit sending cards at Christmas?
This is something to take into consideration, because there is a lot to say with that quote that you quoted from the hotelier in chief, that the FedEx and the UPS compared to the Postal Service, on the FedEx and the UPS, I'm not too keen on business, but I believe those are private businesses that are not part of a true combined American effort, because the Postal Service has been around since so long that it has maintained itself from the contributions of the American citizens, you see. Yes, the ones that pay the taxes are the ones that support this service. So I don't think I pay taxes to support the FedEx service. I believe that is a private company, but I could be wrong. So what you possibly could see from that note is that there's an attempt to privatize the communication industry by eliminating the United Postal Service and just relying on the FedEx and the UPS, which it may cost you $20 to send each Christmas card to Nana, Papa, Mima, Gaga, Yaya, and little Bobby.
So, Dr. Berger, with people returning to the workplace, the same hotelier-in-chief has stated that there will be testing available for all returning employees. There is report, however, that certain tests are not of a specific grade needed to give accurate results about testing positive or negative for coronavirus. Dr. Berger, what's your aspect on the tests not being reliable in some areas?
This is a common phrase and a common event coming with all kinds of testing. There was a time back in the 80s where we had the HIV outbreak, and what tests do we do? How do we do this? And the tests, they took a long time. For example, they eventually started doing blood tests. These blood tests had to be done in a laboratory that were very isolated or in isolated areas. And there was a time that you could send it by mail. And how long did it take? It took a good while to return with results. And the tests have further advanced to where you can have automatic instant results with a little prick of the finger. You know, at this time, the tests, of course, they're not going to be reliable. However, there is shown vast improvement already in the short time because of the focus of time and energy and, of course, money on science. You see, there's a lot of science going on, and it has to be differentiated from the, the speculation, the conspiracy series about the big six-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater that's coming out of the government and eating all small businesses. With this test reliability, I agree. There is a chance that the reliability of the test may be false, but that is the job of science. We have to work towards this reliability and get tested. And if we feel that we have to get tested further along, then get tested. That is the joy of America. You can get tested for whatever over and over and over. You know, unlike some other countries, perhaps Yemen, that has completely lost their structure and probably dying as we speak from poverty and starvation. And here we are complaining about the mask and unreliable testing. Well, we keep on getting tested. That is the joy of the country you live in. Viva USA!
And Dr. Berger, let's talk about the serious, absolutely shocking allegations that came out today from the hotelier-in-chief regarding Barack Obama. Of course, I'm talking about Obamagate. The man said that we all know what crimes he committed. He knows the crimes he committed, and they're all going to be exposed in Obamagate. I've really done some thinking and some research. I saw a tan suit, and I heard that he smoked cigarettes on the White House lawn. That's all I can find, Dr. Berger, and I really did use our imperative research team here at the World of Science. What is Obamagate, Dr. Berger? Tell us.
Well, there's reason to believe this Obamagate started, that Obama should have stopped that meteor from destroying all the dinosaurs back in the BC. This is how this all started, because, you know, I'm sure Obamagate is about 500 million years old, and all the problems are his. He assassinated Lincoln, he sunk the Titanic, he rocked the Nepal with that horrible earthquake several years ago, and now he's spreading this coronavirus. Perhaps he got it in a vial from the time of the dinosaurs. He probably split the testicle of one of the T-Rexes open and got out the coronavirus, put it in a little vial, and time traveled with the quote-unquote Muslim time traveling machines that so many people thought he had. And he came back, he had a little secret on that lawn, he put on a tan suit saying to himself, all right, I got the T-Rex testicle coronavirus, I'm going to spread it all over the world, but first I'm going to start in China with the bat soup. So this Obamagate deal is not a fanfare. That truly all it is, a simple fanfare. But perhaps there is reason to believe that he needs this fanfare, particularly because of the particular years that we live in now. Because tick-tock, tick-tock, we only got, 6 months away until the big day?
I understand. But Dr. Berger, in all seriousness, the allegations from the former aide of Joe Biden, there was a lot of press coverage a few weeks ago, and now there is nothing. We all want our men and women, children, we all want them safe, and we all want them, if God forbid, they have any kind of sexual assault, any kind of danger that crosses their path, we want them to have an outcry and a safe place to go to receive help and to also get justice. But the story is gone. Now, in all seriousness, Dr. Berger, is this the liberal media dousing the story out so it won't affect Joe Biden's chances to become president? Or is there something else going on? What is going on with this story?
Well, the story, I will say, first of all, you are absolutely correct. This topic is something that should not be ridiculed. This is something that should not be taken lightly. And this is not some story to share publicly if it is false. That is not correct. That is not right. This is a story that needs to be taken seriously. I shouldn't say this story. I should say the topic, because the story in itself is nearly just that. It is a make-believe story that unfortunately had to deal with a topic that is very, very serious. And it happens at all ages with all kinds of people. And with this particular story, I feel very sad for this individual. She presented a story about a gentleman that was nominated as the Democratic representative for the election. And then the story came out. There is some hesitation with sharing such knowledge or such experiences. We figured this out. We've come to accept that it takes people some time or no time. They won't share at all because of the personal nature of this kind of topic. But of course, this girl, she needed some attention, because what's going on right now is that she has disappeared. Whether or not it is a story that is being swept away by quote-unquote the liberal media, or if it is being titillated by the quote-unquote conservative media, the story will always be there, because once a topic like this comes into light, it is going to be followed. Once it has been completely proven wrong, then it will disappear. At this moment, there has not been any proven allegations whether person A is right, person B is right, or either one of them is wrong. And that is sad. This is a story that needs to be followed, and there needs to be a finality to the story, and that is unhealthy.
And again, we want to stress that anyone who is even harassed at the workplace, bullied, please get help. Please ask for help. And we will continue following the story. Dr. Berger, another story of horrific violence this week was a Kentucky EMT was shot in her home by police officers that were serving what they call a silent knock warrant. Breonna Taylor, who is not only an EMT but also a volunteer at several charities, was sleeping for the first time, they said, in several days because she had been working so hard, and she was killed in her home for someone serving a warrant, I understand, to someone who was already in jail. Dr. Berger, what happened to the amazing hero Breonna Taylor?
But I'd like to say her name again. Breonna Taylor. This is a lady who has shown that she works at a profession that dedicates many, many man hours to many, many people that are in distress, that are close to the door of death, and that work in the world of science, which we are always here to talk about every week. So then what happens? The silent knock? What was it you said? Silent knock?
Yes, sir. Silent knock warrant is basically when authorities have a warrant and they believe that someone in the home has firearms or something dangerous. They can just break down the door and go in and apprehend the person. They don't have to knock.
Oh, okay. Because it made no sense. That how are they going to know that you're there if the knock is silent? Don't you have to make noise with the knock? But yes, of course, if they have this fear of guns again, particularly, I guess she was a lady of dark skin, there's that fear of dark-skinned people having guns again. So what? You kill them. Oh, but then they thought, oh, my bad. I shot the wrong person. Carry on. Let's get back to brunch. But the story also is very sad. So really, really sad, that needs to take more coverage than what it is being given. And Miss Breonna Taylor should deserve some justice immediately.
Absolutely. Justice for the hero, the amazing EMT, Breonna Taylor. We need it immediately. And Dr. Berger, on a side note, many of the media are being harassed by protesters. There was a feed this week that showed people attacking a CNN reporter who was there reporting, giving media time to their protest, and they attacked him, and one of the protesters walked up and said, "We don't like you because you broadcast the White House press briefings live." your fake news. My question, Dr. Berger, is not ridiculous, but it is so ridiculous. How can one manipulate news if they are broadcasting a situation live? How does that happen, Dr. Berger?
Well, you see, there's this conundrum. You know, this perfectly privileged small group of people, they feel that reality is fake. I believe they all live in the Matrix with the Keanu Reeves when they're all wanting to bend over backwards to allow the bullets to just fly. The bullets from this quote-unquote liberal media. But I will say this. It has to be taken into consideration that when someone believes that live feeds, not pre-taped, not pre-recorded, but they are running the camera while a person is talking, while the people are protesting, that is fake news. That's very sad to the psychology of the individual calling it fake news, because in and of itself, they are calling themselves fake, which I believe absolutely these pitiful protests are fake. There is a fake outrage going on because there is nothing going on but absolute failure of the leadership that they think is awesome. And there is something to say about American society when dealing with what I should say, the media. I remember my papa growing up in the Germany. There was these newsboys, as they call them here in the United States. And newsboys were at different corners with different papers for businessmen who were doing what? They were trying to sell the paper. For example, when the Titanic sank, there was one little boy saying, you know, like they said here in America, extra, extra, ein Titanic don't float, Sturgenmagen. It floated down or it drowned. And the other newsboy was saying, millions dead, including mothers, children, unwed cockroaches at the base of the Titanic. And of course, the more dramatic individual sold the most papers because he sold a story that was embellished. And in America, that praises themselves on being able to differentiate bull crap from the crap that is not bull, I believe the little privileged group that we see every day has lost that ability, because the individual has to differentiate for themselves what is fake and what is real. If you completely depend on an individual to tell you what is fake and tell you what is real, you are not an individual. You are a person that is following the light of death. So for example, me and myself, I don't fault the media for anything. I fault the individuals for bringing their own opinions to a story. The story needs to be shared, whether it's in newspapers, whether it's in the Book of Faces, the Instagrams, the Twitters, or whatever. The media needs to be shared. There is a story. And each individual has to take it upon themselves to differentiate sensationalism with the reality. You cannot depend on the other person to tell you the truth, or what I should say, the writer to tell you the truth, because the writer has to maintain a job. The writer has to maintain food in their belly, and the writer has to maintain whatever sexual desires they have with the cameraman at channel 13, 12, or 11. But what is going on also is that a lot of people are expecting the media to tell them the truth. That I want the media to tell me what I want to hear. I want the media to tell me that this is how it's going on, not how it's going on from the eyes of another person. And I'm sorry, Papa, that is not how it works. The media is there to share a story. They have to sell the story, but it is up to you whether you want to buy it or not. But there does not need to be any violence towards another individual. And for little lady or little man that said, I want you to stop recording live feeds of the hotelier in chief discussions because they are fake, applause to you and congratulations for determining what the leadership that you have elected to be. Completely fake.
And speaking of sensationalism, Dr. Berger, this week, Eric Trump was quoted as saying the coronavirus will disappear after the election. Now, I'm sure there are many aspects that we can interpret this quote. But my question, first off, Dr. Berger, will the coronavirus completely be gone in November?
Well, a part of me thinks that Mr. Eric Trump can't even spell coronavirus, but that's not even the story. What we have here is we have a quote that is saying when he spoke to the drunk judge Jeanine Pirro from her home with the news of Fox, he said that it is going to disappear after the election. So is this something that a very simple person is sharing just to be in the spotlight? Is it true, or is this virus going to play out like the Spanish flu of the early 1900s? We don't know, but we do know that the very, very unfortunate, unimportant, minuscule little pea brain person shared that on a news channel who has proven themselves to be falsehoods and sharing information that's more than just a story, but more than opinion. For this, I believe this is political play. I believe that Eric Trump is not a very smart person, and I believe he needs to just go away, perhaps to a little island in the archipelagos of Polynesia, and let wild bohogs be his friends till the end.
And Dr. Berger, switching the subject to sporting events, our country, many countries around the world, sports is everything. And sports is some things, and sports is nothing to some people, but sporting events are a billion-dollar business across the globe. What's going to happen, Dr. Berger? And Dr. Berger, let's start with baseball. The baseball players are holding out. They want their full fees, even though they probably will only be playing a half or one-third of the games that they normally play. And we also have, with football starting in August, we have reports that stadium attendance may not be allowed, and everyone will just use a pay-per-view service to watch the games from home or from a bar stool sitting every other person. What's going to happen to sporting events, concert events in the near future, Dr. Berger?
Oh, well, there is going to be a change. I will agree with that. So with our friends in baseball, the great American pastime where you could just spit out any racist, derogatory, meaningless chatter to the people on the field as they play, because that's how the game started. So we have our little friends in baseball, these poor, unfortunate millionaires that are making money off the off shoes, off clothing, off sodas, you know. They're unable to live with their seven-digit figures, so they need more seven-digit figures. Otherwise, they're going to be very poor millionaires living in mansions on the beachfront properties of Miami. So it is very sad that to think that these millionaires, because they're not playing as many games, they're not going to get all the millions, but maybe a third of the millions, which unfortunately in this day and age, that won't even buy you a Big Mac and McDonald's. Do you know what I mean? So what we have also is with the football, that is a little more intense, because we all love this great sport of football. You know, all these men in this spandex showing off every curve of that derriere, and these accentuated shoulders showing off the V torso. Many, many men flock to the stadium to look at these spandex-clad men putting their hands underneath each other's testicles to hike a pigskin ball and jump on each other in jockstrap spandex, and hairy bellies open up to the sky. That is why lots of men loves the sport of football. There's a lot of camaraderie, a lot of manly juices flowing one on top of each other. And I'm sure because people have missed paying $30 for a Bud Light beer. So there is going to be a change. But there is also something that I want to touch on that you mentioned, is that this sport is multi-million dollar industry. And what is helping support this multi-million dollar industry? It is the fan. The fan buys the jerseys, the fan buys the food, the fan buys the ticket, and these tickets are very expensive. So when you compare apples to apples and kumquats, you have these tickets that cost about $80 to purchase, and you sit all the way up at the top where all these little ants in blue and pink play on this green field. And once you compare it to pay-per-view, which is probably going to be $30 to watch the game, it's quite an interesting conundrum if you think about it. But yes, it is going to be very sad for all these high school heroes that are dependent on the high school football life, that carry them into marriage, and that carry them throughout life of their successes in high school. It's going to be worse on them. But yes, I do believe, I can only say that time will tell what will happen. But at this moment, it is very unclear that people are going to return to field stadiums. But we do know that the show and the game will go on.
And Dr. Berger, going back to a topic that we covered several weeks ago, Captain Brett Crozier, who was a whistleblower regarding the COVID-19 virus spread, Brett Crozier, he has been reassigned. Now, Dr. Berger, since that's happened, there's been reports of tuberculosis, of several accounts of COVID positive testing, and some that are suspected. What do you think of all that, Dr. Berger?
Well, you know, when the story first came out that there was this virus on a ship with lots of men in enclosed spaces sleeping literally one on top of the other in bunkers, you know, it's been proven that close proximity can spread this virus very quickly. And I remember this story because now there are some sailors that are retesting as positive, and they were positive and negative, and now they're positive again, which proves that we don't know much about this virus, but we do know that it is not cured, that the treatment is in its early stages, and that the anti-malarial that was being pushed for a good long while was not working. So what this is showing possibilities that this virus is actually something that is not going to go away, but is going to intensify, and we need to take some precautions. Of course, we have to be very careful for the privileged few that feel that a little help of their American brother is too much, that they don't want to help their American brother. But it's a very sad situation that these men that are fighting for this country or that represent this country, however you want to deem the military, that they have to go through this in tight quarters with not only the COVID, but of course tuberculosis. And tuberculosis is just a very, very, very bad bug that unfortunately does stay with you for your whole life in a dormant state.
Absolutely. And one way that we can all help combat the coronavirus is washing our hands. Dr. Berger, do you have a fresh hand washing timer song that we can all use while we are washing our hands this week?
Oh, fresh timer song. Oh, I've been off the music for a little while because I found this new PS4. It's beautiful. But none today. What I would like to close this show on is a very, very dear individual who has made many people laugh. And it was a person we did not have to lose in such a time where we do need people to laugh. It's the great actor, Mr. Fred Willard, who's one of my favorite actors from Best in Show and Waiting for Gaffney and all that fun movie stuff. There is something that I would like to take my freshly clean and sanitized hands and applaud Mr. Willard for many, many years of helping keep people happy and helping people laugh.
He will be missed. A true talent. Dr. Berger, thank you.
This has been Elocution with your host, Ello Black.